That sound like the Jay-Z beat right there too. Rhapsody. Yeah. If you don't watch Prison from Latin, I don't know what to tell you.
I've never watched this shit, so you can't say that.
I don't know what to tell you. It actually ain't new. If you go on YouTube, all of these episodes is like 7, 11 years old.
Them right there?
Yes.
Oh, I've never heard of this shit.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't expect people outside of the producer community or people just like their favorite producer might have did it. Like, I found out about it because one of my favorite producers is A-Rab Music. He did it, and I just jumped down to A-Rab Music.
A-Rab Music?
Oh, man. A-Rab Music is probably the best finger drummer you're going to ever experience.
Yeah,
he was on The Breakfast Club. He do festivals. I think he made a couple of beats for Lloyd Banks, too, but he ended up getting shot, like, twice. He's alive and everything, but I think getting shot really did something to his career. But A-Rab Music is phenomenal. He's when it comes to me trying to get nice with the finger drumming, he's my inspiration. Mm. Because a lot of producers make beats, but not a lot of us really get down with the actual finger drumming out the pattern. We'll do the claps. We'll do the hi-hats, we do everything separate, but he be on there the whole shit together on his MPC, live. You never really seen him before?
No, I heard it. The only time I heard of A-Rab Music, I believe, is when Hov had that shit back in the day. That Knight Rider shit.
Oh, man, I'm going to put you him on and, real quick.
Him and Busta had that same beat going back and forth type shit.
I'm going to put you on real quick to something. Real quick now, before I do that, I want y'all to know it might not mean nothing to y'all, but this is another podcast, episode 65, and it's called Thank God Almighty, Free at Last. Free at Last.
Except ain't shit free.
And I named it that because my boy Kanye is finally free.
Oh my God.
So we're gonna talk about that.
You didn't take the opportunity to talk about Kanye and his goddamn divorce from that devilish family.
Exactly. Listen to A-Rab, get it. He be killing it.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, that was, yo.
I think right I went too line. Far to the end.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
This is when he was on Hot 97.
Jump on Hollywood P.
Let's not.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Please don't.
Let's not.
You know, I'm straight West Coast, and I might just drop these West Coast balls. Well, y'all spend a lot of time in LA these days, you know, so I'm dropping these Hollywood balls.
If you don't listen to Hot 97, I don't blame you, but it's getting better. I'm going to say it's getting better. It's getting better. This is good, bro.
I think it's one of the better radio shows I did. That's it.
His fingers just don't stop, like.
Yeah. Killing that shit, though. Wow.
So, that's why he's definitely in my top five producers. If you say A-Rab is not nice, you just hating. Because can't no many producers do that. I done watched him win beat battles, tearing people up. It's crazy.
Yeah, that was kind of dope. I ain't gonna lie.
So shout out to A-Rab Music. But yes, I am going to take the time to talk about Kanye and his divorce. Not because it's like big news, but because Kanye been trying to get away from them motherfuckers for a while, he been talking about they try to drug him and lock him up and do all of this shit. He been doing all these tweets and saying all of these things, but now everybody want to talk about, oh, Kim wants a divorce. She wants to get away from him. No, he been pretty much begging for that shit for a minute now.
No, it's definitely clear in his behavior and everything that he been doing through the last couple of years, he trying to separate himself.
So right now you rocking with your girl, DJ Exclusive.
DJ Exclusive.
And that's your boy, Doughboy.
Doughboy, Doughboy.
And today I got on slippers.
I was about to wear my motherfucking house shoes today. I didn't feel like putting on some sneakers, and then I just did. Fuck it.
But yeah, but you gotta walk outside and shit. You don't want to wear your inside this house shoes outside.
I mean, I clean the house, so I don't really, you know?
Yeah,
know.
But I had some house shoes. Yeah, different. I know. I feel you. I had these house shoes. They was dead comfortable, and I was doing the same thing, walking to the bodega and shit. Then they got a hole in them. I fucked up one of my favorite pairs of house shoes and shit. But the and these actually said they got the outside bottoms, but I don't know. These is my shits though. Hmm. And if y'all remember when we covered Casanova when he first got locked up, I said I think he gonna be eating the cheese.
And he eating the cheese?
And we're gonna talk about why I think that he nibbling at it.
Oh my god.
And of course we gotta address white privilege.
We definitely gotta address white motherfucking privilege.
And we gotta give out my homeboy Common his flowers. Because last night
Common the rapper,
yes. Okay. Because last night, while I was sitting here, when you make music and shit, sometimes you need to give your brain a rest and like just relax, watch a movie, burn an incense, just don't think about it. So I decided to watch that movie Love because I remember seeing it before.
Whoa, I heard that. I don't think I watched it though.
And the reason why I'm saying we're gonna give Common some flowers because if you ever seen the movie Love, he the one that taught Mr. Tariq St. Patrick the game. That's when little Tariq was like, man, shit, he's probably 8 or something in that movie.
Younger than that. I think I seen a little share. Somebody shared it. That
yeah,
was
me, yeah, that was me. I was sharing
that
it.
Nigga because... was, yeah, that nigga had to be about 6'7".
So literally that whole movie is about Common showing them the game and shit. So I wanted to talk a little bit briefly about how, like, really... I don't know if 50 ever seen that movie or whatever, but that could have literally been like a prequel to the Power shit. And we gonna bring back the lyrical breakdown. I thought something would be interesting. Okay. I'm in a lot of these hip-hop groups.
I just joined that, you might be mad, I joined that Joe Button podcast group.
Why would I be mad?
Because y'all know, you know, you have some problems or discrepancies with that group.
I don't have no problems or discrepancies. If they find out who you are, they just gonna kick you out. So, they don't. Nigga, that shit is real. Like when they
so if I start sharing another podcast shit in there, I'm going to get kicked out? I'm going to start sharing another podcast shit in there.
Or it's either that, or they going to go, or they going to, like, be talking amongst themselves, like, oh, da-da-da-da-da, she won't join, so she sent her nigga. Like, they going to be saying shit like that.
They must not know I just do me.
They're going to either make it seem like I'm trying to make my way back in there through you, or they're going to just kick you out. Or
deny
every post.
They don't realize that you started this shit just because you don't give a fuck about that shit. Don't worry.
I'm going to just tell you like this. The original one where I was an admin in, Bubba was in there. When me and the owner had our issues, Bubba didn't even realize it. They kicked his ass out. He didn't do nothing. Bubba didn't even do shit. He never said nothing to nobody that did anything connected to me.
I don't understand that shit. Because what I've been coming to see is like, motherfuckers, not saying you, but period. Motherfuckers that run these groups, like, I feel like they be ego tripping.
In some cases they do. In this particular case, though, it depends on your group and how big it is and how it got that way. Mm-hmm. I don't think that internet clout should give anybody, like, a big head. But if you literally built your group out the mud on the strength of your own name... Then I could respect that. But when you get tens of thousands of members because they think that this is the actual group for the Joe Budden podcast, and everyone's there thinking that this is about the Joe Budden podcast, you didn't build that on your own.
You built it off another nigga name, off the strength of another nigga name, basically.
And the original admins, like, some of them were cool with members of the podcast, like Parks, like Rory. Mm-hmm. So for a moment, Rory was actually a member of that group.
Okay.
The whole idea of the Parks Hive came about from that group. Then it was some shit with some merch or whatever. Parks didn't want to pay. It was a big deal. But some of the people fuck with some of the actual members of the podcast, but there is no affiliation. Joe Budden don't give nobody no checks. Don't give no fucks.
So they doing that shit like dick riding?
Basically.
That's what it sounds like.
Basically, that's what it is.
Sound like a whole bunch of dick riding.
And when I became a member, I was just a member. Doing the same shit that I do in Everything Lit. Mm-hmm. Just posting content, being silly with my hot takes. I was doing it
talking
there.
Shit.
I was doing it there and I got popular. People started fucking with me more than they started fucking with the dude that started the group. So what he thought would be a good idea was to make me an admin of his group. See, I didn't want to be an admin. I denied it like 3 times before I just said, fuck it. I told him that I was going to start my own podcast. All of that shit was in the making already. Mm-hmm. I started my podcast, and basically the original podcast page started getting big. We had like almost 2,000 follows and likes and shit. The original page was getting really big.
What, the original what page? Nothing Podcast page?
Our original Facebook page. It was literally averaging 60 members, 60 new likes and follows a week. That page was really big. That's why I was very heartbroken when it got deleted. Then the second one that I made, it was catching traction, and then Facebook deleted it for no reason, talking about recidivism. I never even knew what that word meant, but they said that those was the terms that they deleted the second Nothing Podcast page. This is actually the fourth page that we've had, which is
Yeah, you bitch ass nigga that was commenting talking shit about the shit. Yeah, faggot.
Being dead. Like, yeah. I kind of like lost my motivation to like.
Now, did you read that new comment when he said?
Some of them, but
yeah,
I stopped
was talking
reading them.
Beggar shit.
Yeah, because they like the attention, they thrive on it.
See, I didn't know that people. I didn't see. I should have known, but I didn't get that.
When you see
that
me
was
not even doing that, then I already know what it is. And plus, I already learned. Like, I can't be arguing with the motherfuckers that's on my page watching my content. Like, do you ever see the Shave Room commenting back and forth or the Baller Alert? None of them niggas ever give them niggas the satisfaction. Like, I might say something back to you, but I'm not about to sit here and engage with you all day. Like I don't got other things to do. You're here because you like me. I didn't ask you to come here. All I did was meta tag my shit MF Doom. You found it because you was searching for MF Doom.
And we didn't even diss the nigga. Like, we just said we didn't like his music.
Exactly. And when
like, I don't understand how niggas take that as disrespect. Because it's not niggas, disrespectful to not like music.
Because niggas think what they think is the truth. And that's the only way to think. Like, you're not allowed to have an opinion in this world. And I also wanted to briefly say one thing before I get to potting. Congratulations, Lil Nas X.
What?
It might not mean anything to you guys, but Lil Nas X, Old Town Road is 14 times platinum. That means it's diamond and then some. It is the most accredited song in Billboard history. No song in Billboard history has ever did 14 million. And the reason I say
that's that Rainbow Parade shit.
But no, because if that was the case, Elton John would have had one or some. Fucking Boy George. But I
don't know. You gotta understand, like, that kind of music that you're talking about is not universal.
True.
You know what I mean? I like that kind of music. You know what I'm saying? Hip hop is universal. You don't even gotta like
rap. But that's
rap.
Not even hip hop, though.
Lil Nas X, that shit, hip hop slash country. Like, but you gotta understand where hip hop is every genre combined into one.
I'm gonna give Lil Nas X his props in the sense of the shit that I talk. And the shit that I talk is, this is the music business, the goal is to sell music. And he came up with a song that, whether it's my cup of tea or not, I couldn't dodge that shit. Well, now there are certain
songs I could die. Who we got on the song with him?
But the original version was just him. That song
is the original version, the one that goes diamond though.
See, but this is the thing.
I think that matters.
No, because I feel like the original version went so viral, went so crazy, had so many different remixes that encouraged Billy Ray Cyrus. Of course.
But that's how it always goes.
But then once Billy Ray Cyrus, yeah, it took the song to another level. But I'm not going to sit here and give that white man all that boy props.
But at the end of the day, it's not about giving that nigga the props. It's about, you know, focusing on the real. Not giving that nigga props. It's about focusing on the real.
I see what you're saying. But I feel like without Old Town Road,
I feel like without Miley Cyrus pops, that record doesn't do what it did.
It doesn't.
It doesn't
but
go.
It was still a big deal.
It would have been a big deal on its own, but we wouldn't have heard about it the way we heard about it if it wasn't for what's this, Billy Ray Cyrus?
Billy Ray Cyrus, 14 million.
Exactly, but I'm telling you, it got more. That number, I hate to say it, and you know, I ain't trying to take away that nigga shine and nothing, but in retrospect and in reality, Billy Ray Cyrus is the reason that record is diamond.
Now, I will say this, though, on some real shit. That's not even my favorite Lil Nas X record. I like that.
I don't know another
Lil Nas record. He got this record called Kick It. I love that shit. That beat fire. His album.
Do you like the beat or do you like the flow? You like the beat.
I like the beat, and I like it. I like that song. I like the song until the beat dropped. Once the beat drop, he goes into like this other genre of music or something. I don't know. I don't get jiggy with that part. But Kick It is dope. I actually used this beat in a blend before. Mm-hmm. I fuck with it. This is better than Old Town Road to me. My opinion. As a hip hop head, what I be listening for. This shit is hard. This is
to me, for three, see if you need we get it for me. It's good, see if you want it, now I got it, nigga, we should go and kick it. See you wanna move, but we was
yeah, good. I heard this, I think this, get right.
We from me.
Not bar wise, but just
talking
like
about sweat.
Now you all over the place.
This shit fire.
That beat fire.
You just a nigga these days. My brother showed me the way. See you on the TV, heard that big boy check your chart and play. Heard your snippets on that G-man, tell me what's the dropping date. My big sister love you, nigga, right, you look on my uncle say. You can just give me money, but it's that cookie fun, okay.
Hey, that shit fire.
To me.
That's why once I heard this, and he got this other shit with, I think, Nicki Minaj or Cardi, one of them bitches called Rodeo or some shit. I was like, he got it. So I wasn't going to buy into the one hit wonder shit. Like he legit is doing probably what what's his name? With the fucked up eye? Fetty Wap?
Fetty Wap.
Fetty Wap should have did what he doing. He showed me with this that he got other joints. He don't just got Old Town Road. He can give you other joints. But if Old Town Road is going to keep on sustaining his lifestyle and is going to keep on having him touring and working, why put out mad joints and then you bust your load? Because that's what happened with Fetty. He put out like 6 songs in a year. And now he dry.
But I think his shit was more business while he dry. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that could happen to any artist.
Yeah, but I'm saying if the business ain't right, your career ain't right. Your music ain't gonna be right. Your music gonna reflect the business.
I don't know. I believe that and I understand that, but I feel like if my music is doing good, then I have no other choice but to get my business together. Like, okay, you might be my manager and you're fucking up, so I gotta fire you and get somebody
else. A lot of that times you on the contract. If you on the contract with niggas, you can't do what you wanna do. Period. At the end of the day, the problem that I think most niggas make is they don't
read
that contract properly. They don't go get a lawyer to look at the contract and all that shit
and
like that.
And what's worse, it don't even be the labels that be fucking these niggas.
It be the managers.
They be signing to their friends and shit.
It be their managers and shit. It be their managers. It be motherfuckers close to them.
Yeah, that shit be trash. But it might not mean nothing to y'all, but do you know what an insurgence is?
Insurgents?
Yes.
I can kind of like guess what it
insurrection because that's what the news media called it. I had to Google it. Apparently it's a fancy word for rebellion. These are the words that they were choosing to use for the white privilege that occurred week on the news.
Wow.
Like, because, you know, if it was us, I don't know what it would have been called, but it wouldn't have been some fancy word that you had to ask. No, it would have
been called appalling. It would have been called...
But that's the wow shit. That's what they were saying. Like, if you were watching it, they're saying, this is so appalling. This is so absurd. If this was Black Lives Matter, like, everything that you've seen on your timeline, this is what these news pundits is actually saying. But as it's happening and you're reading the bottom of the screen, it says shit like, Trump supporters stormed the Capitol, or... basically Trump supporters, and then you're listening to them saying things like, we don't know what to call them, we can't call them Trump supporters, we can't call them patriots, call them thugs, call them hooligans.
Let's call it for what it is. Motherfuckers is a militia.
Call it.
It was terrorists, there was homegrown terrorists, because that was a terrorist act. I don't give a fuck what nobody said.
Call it what you will, it was an army of retrumplicants.
I just can't believe that shit is happening. Like, that shit is like. That shit is real disheartening. Like, that shit is actually happening. Like, shit is just that real where motherfuckers is breaking into the motherfucking Capitol building and nothing's happening. Well, I guess some shit happened, but.
Yeah, these armed goons, they broke windows, they stole shit. I'm gonna just skip the bullshit.
There's been a few arrests, though.
I gotta be professional. According to the news, about 36 people got arrested. 3 people died. Trump accordingly watched everything from the West Wing.
From the bunker.
Apparently, he enjoyed everything.
Nah, because one of his sons went live on, posted a video and shit, and he's like, you know, they like partying and listening to music while the shit is happening.
Yeah, Trump was enjoying the whole thing. He wasn't upset at all.
And then he called them heroes.
I guess after...
Did he call them heroes?
Sort of, yes.
Patriots and shit?
After, I guess, he was getting like tired of hearing what he should do, he decided, which Anderson Cooper brought up, anytime the president addresses America, they do it like from a podium or like some other shit, kind of like what Biden did. Trump just stood outside on the grass and he basically said, they stole the election. And this is what happens when you steal an election from America. We rebel. We fight. But listen, they trying to be on that bullshit. I don't want none of y'all to get hurt. So thank you for coming out. I love all of you. But please go home before one of y'all get fucked up. And then, like, 2 seconds after that, they all start leaving. It was beautiful to see all that power that Trump wielded just like that. It was just like, I keep on saying, it was like that scene from Malcolm X when he just pointed and everybody left. Trump literally... said go home, and they started leaving on their own behest. We didn't see nobody get body slammed. We didn't see nobody get thrown in no ground. I seen videos of them opening barricades, letting people run in, though.
Yeah, I seen cops waving niggas in.
Yeah, I seen that, though.
I seen shit with cops like, come on, run up in the joint. And then I seen the video where a cop was getting crushed in the doors when they was trying to break in.
Yeah, I seen that.
Because a cop died. A cop died in that shit, too.
Yeah, that they were saying the cop died before the woman had just got shot in her chest. The craziest thing about this, one of the biggest things that I know, you can't play with my intelligence. This is a staged event. This happened right there on the Capitol floor. There, you got video footage and pictures of you guys on the Senate floor doing whatever.
I heard motherfuckers was smoking weed in that joint.
They was doing whatever the fuck. And then you guys reconvened to still vote on the Electoral College?
Yeah, that shit's crazy.
Like, y'all don't even go home to take a breather? Like, you could have died, like... Because I know if that was me, and that was real, fuck you me, go back in there and vote. I'm going the fuck home, nigga.
I'm not gonna lie. There's times some shit didn't happen, and I still went party. Maybe. Like nothing, like it was nothing.
But I don't know. There was pictures of niggas that had fucking zip ties. Some of them motherfuckers had book bags. They talking about bombs, nigga.
Yeah, I hear you.
Bombs, nigga. You gonna go out to party after somebody tried to blow your shit up with a bomb?
I'm most definitely gonna go out to party after that because I'm still alive.
I mean, going out to party would be different than like if that shit happened at your job and they're like, okay, everything's good, go back to work now. Because that's like pretty much what that is. Them niggas is at work right now.
Oh, I'll be too traumatized.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm traumatized, nigga. I'm like, go back in
there. I'm fucking with you, though. But yeah, that's work. I'm like, getting out of this. Yeah, but, oh, I'm traumatized.
Like, in real life,
but
though.
I'm go party after.
Exactly.
Because like, I'm telling you, I done seen mad shit happen. And it's like, I guess once you see it enough, for me, I guess it's like, it's just like, it's nothing.
Yeah, it is nothing. It's in just your regular what it is, life. Like, in your regular life, you'd be like, man, I'm going to get over that shit. But nah, you ain't about to almost blow up fucking Walmart and then tell me, all right, go clean up on aisle 7, nigga. You got me fucked up. You almost died up in this bitch. If I'm going to die, I'm about to go home. Like, and I might be the only person that felt like that, but I just thought that was really weird. Like, they just reconvened. Like, y'all couldn't even come back tomorrow. It just has to happen. It has to happen tonight. Why? What is the, why is this vote so important? Why does it have to happen tonight?
I mean, because I think, because everybody got to get that vaccine. They working, yo, I'm telling you, that's the ultimate goal, is to get everybody that vaccine. I'm telling you, like that's what they pushing. That's what, I think at the end of the day, it's going to get to the point, like, right, like people, where I'm going with it. Everything you're going to need to do, like people who get government assistance and shit like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to be vaccinated to enter the building.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I already see that coming.
Like it's mad shit they're going to start stipulating.
They already low-key trying that shit. You know what the test run of that was? When COVID was kind of ramping up and they were saying, all right, Connecticut is a COVID safe zone. Our numbers are right here. So if you coming from any place where y'all numbers is up here, you got to show a test that you COVID negative before you could come in here. They had that. You didn't. You don't remember that?
No, I don't. Because there at were the certain end of the day, places motherfuckers go in and out of New York all the time.
Yeah, especially, but there were certain places that they were trying area. To. They were basically trying to say you can't go in and out without positive COVID testing or negative testing. I mean, so they was already testing that shit. They I'm already you, they about that shit.
Like a lot of jobs, yo. I'm telling you, a lot of jobs about to start mandating that shit. But I don't know. It's like
it ain't no different than telling you gotta have clean piss to work.
It's too much bullshit. It is, though. It's very different. Because if a shot motherfucking leaving the left side of your face paralyzed, I don't think it's something that you should be mandating.
No. Because they don't want you to know that part of it. But what I'm trying to say is the same way everybody know, they be like, oh, you can't get this job if you got dirty urine. We drug test, right? But everybody at the damn job be high as fuck at the damn job. It's low key, like we kind of programmed to think, damn, I got to either get some clean pee or make sure my pee clean for this drug test. Now the system will be like, damn, I got to figure out how I'm going to get some clean papers and say I'm vaccinated, or I got to actually get fucking vaccinated for this job. It's going to be like the same fucking shit.
It's going to be like that. And I'm telling you, it's about to be crazy.
Hell
man.
Yeah. Like, and I feel bad for people. Women ain't going to be able to do that healthcare hustle like that no more either. Because you know they got to get it. They got to get it. Like, if you fucking want a little CNAs.
Not yet. It's not mandatory yet.
But soon.
I feel like that too.
You fucking want a little CNAs.
I was telling this chick that shit.
Keep on fucking them little CNAs. Yeah. That little bitch gonna come home, half her face gonna be look paralyzed as fuck. You ask her what happened. She said she got vaccinated at work. Wake up the next day looking crazy.
Yeah, that shit is crazy. Like, once they start mandating that shit.
Because they already got to get COVID tested. Like, my aunts be getting COVID tested, like, once every 2 weeks for that shit. Because they work in the hospital and around with these old-ass people and shit.
Yeah, that shit ain't cool. I don't think I could go through that shit. Like, I don't think I could have a job where I gotta constantly, like,
COVID tested.
What it is I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. Even, like, working, when you working with a fucking mask on, like, if you're doing anything physical where you're moving and
I
shit,
hate it, yo.
Like, I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. That shit be crazy.
I barely couldn't take it going through the grocery store. I don't like that shit either. You're not alone. It's a mixture between smoking and it's just being uncomfortable and not your normal. Like,
yo, it's wild, crazy. It's very uncomfortable. Yeah, it is very uncomfortable,
shit.
Yo.
I don't
to
like
work
it.
With a mask on.
And dude, how does Ethan act with it on? Cause he a baby. I know a lot of people, the kids don't even like wearing them.
You can't put a mask on.
He don't like that shit.
He won't keep that shit on for 2.2. You heard me?
Does it worry you that he won't wear it when y'all go?
I mean, you know what? you know it doesn't, because you know I'm not like that about this shit.
You're like, you know, if my son gets sick, I'm gonna make him better. Like,
it's not even that. It's just like, I, you know, not to sound on some cocky shit, and you know, not to upset the Most High, but I just feel like that shit can't touch me.
I mean, I see exactly what you're saying with that, because I believe that too, and that's what I was trying to get my point across when I was trying to explain to somebody why Trump. I think when what Trump did when he quote unquote had COVID was probably the most presidential thing he ever did. Because one of the things that the American people look to in their leader is that you're strong. You can even look at some street shit. Nobody that's supposed to be a leader of people wants to ever appear weak in front of people. So if he wants us, if his whole narrative...
The world is a show and everybody's always watching.
And if his whole narrative is COVID ain't shit. This is America. We got the best medicines, the best ventilators. If you get sick, we're going to take care of you. If what other thing could he do but get up there, take his mask off?
Yeah, but it's not realistic. It's not realistic. So when you're doing that shit, you're giving a false sense of hope and a false sense of security. And that's not good to do.
See, that's the part that everybody got mad at, which I understand and I respect. But for me, I'm like, yo, he just trying to appear
strong. Would you rather somebody sell you a dream? Or somebody tell you what's actually true?
I'd rather them tell me what's actually true, but niggas sell me dreams all of the fucking time.
That's not what I asked you, though. You know what I mean? You say you'd rather me tell you the truth, right?
Yeah.
He's not telling people the truth. That's the problem.
Well,
depends on
what truth you're talking about.
He's not telling people the truth as far as what he... The nigga lie about everything. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, but I mean, in that situation, when he stood up there, he took his mask off, he said that he was better.
Yeah.
How do I know he not better?
I'm not saying he wasn't better. I'm not saying he was lying then.
But
it's like, yo, for me, I'm going to keep it a buck with you. With motherfuckers that, like, yo, this is real shit. With people that lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got to remember the boy who cried wolf.
Yep, every time they tell you, you know what I'm saying? It don't matter no more.
Like, you feel me? Like, if you lying to somebody and then they find out you lying... When you're telling the truth, there's always that possibility that you're lying.
So were you paying attention to the vote for, what was it, the Senate? The House?
Yeah, the Democrats got it.
You didn't think it was a little fishy that Kamala Harris was the deciding vote?
Of course it's fishy. I mean, what the fuck?
Politics is
fishy, period.
I understand that niggas were excited that they feel like we gonna finally get some kind of laws put in place for our power because the Democrats have the House. But if you don't see the blitz with Kamala being the deciding vote and Biden putting her on the ticket, like, that was one of the craziest things my uncle said. He was drunk as fuck, but it made mad sense. He was like, yeah, these niggas out here all happy because there's white men in the office when they really voted for a black bitch. And I'm like, yo, that's real facts. Niggas would rather see a black woman in the White House, even if she's just the vice president, because it will be the first time ever. Yeah. And you can't hate on that, but just say that. Don't sit there and act like you voting for somebody because you agree with their politics and things like that. Keep it a full being. You want to see a black bitch in there, and you think that Biden going to take all his advice from Obama, and it's going, you're going to feel like Obama's the president again.
No, that's definitely not going to happen.
You know what I really think? Obama ain't say shit about this insurgents.
Yo, I think it's a wild plan right now.
It is.
Like, yo, peep me. I really feel like Joe Biden not going to live through his presidency. You know what I'm saying?
Bruh, you just said that man going to die.
I feel like he's not going to live through his presidency. And if he does live through his presidency, he definitely got a clone or he's a clone. You know what
I'm saying? Besides that, there's a few wild factors that I've been thinking about.
And I think that the plan is to get Kamala. Like, that's the double whammy. The first woman president, and she black? Oh my God. Well, they putting her out there as black.
Well, here's the things that have been on my riddle me this list this week. One, it don't take a caveman to tell that whole shit was staged. But now we're like, okay, who was behind the camera? Who was helping? Because the media was definitely a part of it. Trump might have sent the word, organized all of it, whatever, what have you. But y'all had homeless people.
He definitely sat back and let it happen.
Nah, he did more than sit back and let it happen. That shit was strategically planned to happen that way. And I don't give a fuck what nobody tell me. Nobody can just walk up to any kind of federal building like that.
They had to been, the security guards, the cops, anybody had to been told to stand down. Told to go
someplace else.
No, they had to been told to stand down.
Why did it take so long to deploy the National Guard?
I don't know.
Then when they actually deployed them, all the niggas did was actually line up. Them niggas had book bags, they was armed. And they showed us that little picture with the nigga holding Nancy Pelosi's mail. But you mean to tell me that's all they left there with?
Nope, they probably left with files and shit. They left with
all kind of files and all type of secrets. Shit.
That's all the way I look at it, secrets.
And I feel like it all went to Trump, and that's how he gonna stay out of jail. If he don't go to jail, that's because he don't got go to jail.
It's just what it's always been. The system rigged. It's crooked.
I just feel like that shit was staged and it was a distraction from something else. And then everybody's
it's
like,
always
well,
a distraction from something else.
What was it distracting
else?
You from? And I'm like, well, I think that you usually do it right in your face. So what they're distracting me from is happening right here in my face. They're not just, you're just not showing me that part. But you're not going to show me videos of people running around the Senate floor and all in these fucking senators.
They're showing us what's to come. They're showing us what's to come. All the movies, if you can remember every movie where they talking about rebellion and all this shit, the purge, all this shit is to condition us to get us ready for what they're going to do.
Scaling walls.
Hunger Games Society shit.
You scaling walls. That tell me you knew how
to that shit don't remind you of a movie like The Maze Runner?
Yeah,
and the movie
do.
Like, of what is it, Avergent? Or Divergent and all that shit. Hunger Games, yep. All that shit. Like, that shit is real. Like, this is what they're trying to usher in for us.
At first, I was thinking Trump was trying to get his second term by force. But I'm like, well, maybe he's just trying to stay out of jail. Because whatever this is the stage event, and it's being allowed by Trump and the Democrats. They allowing that shit,
too. It's being allowed by everybody. And it's all being ran by the motherfuckers that run the world for real.
And that's why I'm like, that's called white privilege. Thank God Almighty. I'm not trying to be a part of this system. I'm happy with whatever the universe provides for me. See, that's the difference between me and a lot of other people. A lot of other people, they're not happy with what it is that they have, and they want more. And that's okay for you to want more out of your life, but when you be reaching for more, that's when you end up with your soul in the hands of the devil, and you be willing to do the wild shit just so you can have shit. And yeah, nah, I'd rather not
And I feel like that's why I'm where I'm at in life, because I've never been the one to sacrifice my morals and my ethics for what the fuck, for bullshit, like. Just for a leg up. Like, I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, now, if you ever get to a place where someone...
could never sell my soul.
If ever. Someone is schooling me and they teaching me something and it resonates with me, then for me, that's different than they making me do things that are completely against my moral compass just because they're making promises to me. That, to me, is the example of selling your soul. Like, I can't get jiggy with that at all.
Well, I'm telling you like this, if it goes against your nature, it goes against your values, your morals, it shouldn't be for you, period.
But just like I was going to say about this movie, Love, it's interesting because if you've ever seen the movie, I call him Lo Tariq, I think his name Woody in the movie. He's a young kid, so he don't really even have no morals right now. Like, he don't really know nothing. It seems like his whole life developed and changed in one day. If you follow the way that the movie goes. Mm-hmm. And based on the movie, his uncle, which is Common's character, was like a big time drug dealer out in Baltimore, but he went to jail and ended up coming home early.
Okay.
Come home, and then he's supposed to take his nephew to school. Little boy tells him, basically, he be talking to bitches. So there was a bitch right there, coming like, well, go talk to her. And he get all scared. So he's like, you hanging out with me today. You lied to me. I'm going to teach you. Da, 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 da. So he spends the whole day teaching him shit. He teaches him how to shoot a gun. He teaches him, like, how to get fly, go to the tailor, get your suit right. Hmm. He taught him, you know, how to count the drugs, how much the drugs are worth.
Basically, he was teaching him everything he shouldn't have been teaching him.
At a young age, because he's basically rolling with him throughout this day. And he basically explaining to him his plan, that he why he trying to get out, why he has to do these things. He ends up getting ambushed. All this wild shit happens. Rick ends up driving off with a, in the Benz with the money and some drugs at the end, right?
Little kid.
Little kid.
Yeah, all right. That's real.
That is, I'm like, yo, let me find out. That was like the prequel to Power. Then fucking, what's his name? Ghost and fucking Tasha adopted this badass little orphan ass nigga. Because he literally left his grandmother like 10 racks and then left on his own. Which was incredibly unbelievable. Like, where are you going?
50 had to see that movie. 50 had to see that movie. The casting for Power had to see that movie. Because the way you're describing it to me, it's like, it's basically preparing a nigga for that role.
Pretty much.
He was like, already prepared for that role.
And the funny thing is, he went to a little prep school. He went to like a little private school and shit. Yeah,
so he was already, that was his role from that movie reprised in 50 shit. Like,
and then like there was a part where he was like, I know the game. And he ended up having to like do a little drug transaction, selling some bricks, like he did a lot in that one day. But I don't know. The way it ended was just real fucking corny. Like, it was just real corny and unrealistic, like a motherfucking like.
Like, how so?
Alright. Unrealistic, not quite right, number one. The nigga is at the police station being questioned by the cops without him, no adult, no parent, no nothing. Then he goes, I'm gonna drop you off at your grandmother's house. Just dropped the little nigga off after he was there with his uncle getting killed, blood all over him. He was just in an ambush, all this wild shit. Where? What do you mean? That don't make no sense.
It ain't nothing that he should be ready for.
And you're supposed to have his parent there. Oh, yeah. At the police station. You were talking about, you gonna just give him a shower, some new clothes, and drop you back off at your grandmother's house. Talking about, I think it's best that I tell her. What? Then the next day, the nigga just goes back to the crime scene where everything happens at. His uncle's car still parked there where he left it at. There's like crime scene tape. He just walks underneath the tape, walks back to where he hid the money and shit at.
And go get it?
Yeah.
And then just leave?
And like while he's doing it, he having little flashbacks that like he stuck like a pencil in the tree and shit. So that's where he knew to undig the shit at. I'm like, what? And then he cut the crime scene tape because while his uncle was dying, his uncle was basically telling him what to do. Take my keys. Then his uncle like ran away from where he was burying everything and died like in the main part. So the cops wouldn't go over there where he buried everything at. Then he just drives away though. The nigga is like that high. but they made it a point to show that Common taught him how to drive. Every man need to know how to drive. So Common, yeah, you know, you look like your grandma, lean back like me. Like Common made it a, so they made it a point to show you, yeah, he did know how to drive. So it ain't unrealistic that he's driving, but bro, where are you going? Which they alluded to, I guess he going down south because that's where his mother at. And then you find,
so he's going to find his mom.
Because you find out during the last part that Common is his mom's brother and he got her strung out on dope. And she ended up leaving him and shit because she a dope head, basically. Mm. But I was like, when I was watching that shit, I'm like, yeah, this is too much like Power. Like, and it's not because I'm watching Reek, or maybe because I am watching Reek, yeah. But it just seems like...
It's definitely because you're watching Reek. That's the only reason you would be like...
Because I'm just like, wow, a little thug in training. And then the fact that they in Baltimore, so they're trying to use like the little Baltimore slang... You sure they
did we talk about Power?
The last Power joint?
Yeah, we did. They didn't have no episode today, bro. I know.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's not going to be no episode for a while.
Well, Snowfall coming back.
I like Snowfall, but I don't like where it was going.
What, you think it's Franklin the Fed? Because that's what it looked like to me.
It looked like he working, and it looked like they doing too much.
We will see. Now, earlier I told you it's looking like your boy Casanova might be nibbling at the cheese, right?
Yeah, you did mention that, and I would love to know why you came to that conclusion.
All right, so I got to go get my notes because I don't have it here. But it might not mean nothing to y'all at all because it don't really mean that much to me. But your boy Casanova, he's actually going to have a bail hearing coming up. It seems that...
Feds?
It seems that the judge is going to listen to his case. The federal judge is expected to rule whether or not they're going to grant the Brooklyn Gorilla, a.k.a. Casanova, freedom in a $2.5 million bail package offered by his family and his friends. According to the source, the district attorney judge, what's his name, Philip Helpern, is expected to make a decision on February 1st when Casanova and some of his co-defendants will appear in front of the judge. Casanova and 17 others, they was indicted in that RICO charge that includes a murder, mad drug selling. Now, I said he gonna bite the cheese. Everybody was like, he's not. And just for the record, if you're not like familiar with court cases and shit like this, the reason why I'm saying nibbling at it, getting the bell in a RICO case is almost never. It don't happen. They don't ever offer bail. And when they do offer bail, it do be a crazy amount.
The feds usually don't offer bail. That's just that.
But his family and friends, they got $2.5 million together, obviously, in drugs and money, probably real estate and other shit like that to put up an offer.
Definitely got to be some real estate involved.
Yeah, somebody important, like his mama, his main house. Basically, something that's going to guarantee that he's not going to run. And if he does get out, it's going to be on ankle monitoring. And if that happens, I'm going to be convinced that he's cooperating with the federal government. Because yeah, that's going to be some new shit. And
it'd be wild if he cooperated. I really wish that ain't the case. Like, I really don't want that to be the case for him.
Like, you heard of Rafael Edmond before?
Sound familiar, but
he like a street legend from DC. He used to run DC. Mm-hmm. A lot of niggas say he gay now. He be in the feds having gay sex. I don't know, but that nigga been ratting for like the last 10 years. They talking about letting him out too. Wow. And that nigga was in there. I think they gave that nigga like 2 life sentences. And he been ratting so good and helping them and like.
She said ratting so good. Yeah, that's crazy.
When you've been in the Fed since the early 90s, and you had a life sentence, and they talking about letting you out, you giving them some great information. You're helping them lock up a lot of people.
That might be so.
Now I'm not mad at nobody.
In the way I look at it, he probably giving up niggas that's telling them shit in jail because of his status. Of what he was in the streets and shit like that.
Or he was still maintaining operations and getting people locked up like that too. Because nobody probably know that he either
rat. It might be both.
Yeah. Shit. That's probably why he getting double time information. Like, yo, let me out. And the fact that they actually considering it, they considering it. Like, really letting that nigga out. And I'm like, wow, that nigga got mad bodies.
When you get a chance, listen to this dude talk. He like sound ignorant as fuck, but he be saying a lot of real shit.
Well, that's a way to endorse him.
Charleston White.
Now, if Casanova snitches, are you gonna still be a fan of his music? Will you support him? Will you?
I mean, I really ain't too much of a fan now, to be honest with you. I mean, I like a couple of songs and shit, but I ain't like a fan. But if he's snitching, I swear to God, I'd be so like hurt. And I probably wouldn't fuck with that nigga music ever again.
He said I'll be hurt.
Well, for real, because I kind of feel like he's the type of nigga that would never. You feel me? Like I get that vibe, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, usually you can see that and you can feel that energy, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can always tell, like, you know what I'm saying? Niggas is, you know, about something and niggas is not. And niggas is official and stand-up niggas and niggas is not, like.
But one thing I can say, take it how you guys want it. When I said that he ain't in no hurry to go back to jail, this is, to me, a sign of that. I'm not going to say that nobody would want to get bail. If they could get bail, they wouldn't want to get bailed out. But what I am saying is $2.5 million when you know you're going to have to sit down regardless, you're not going to beat that case. You're not. You're better off getting time served.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. And I definitely agree with you. So, like,
I just feel like you're
not going to beat that. No way, no how. So why even waste the money?
On top of the lawyer fees, unless you knew that you was going to cooperate. That's how I feel about it. But who am I? I am no one.
If that nigga, is like, if he do that shit, I don't know, yo. I don't know. If he do that shit, I feel like I would be hurt. Like, I really be hurt. Like, cause I feel like that's a reflection on my judge of character. Like
that, and also the fact
I don't know that nigga in real life. So,
but also, like I've been trying to say, we got to start to realize this ain't back in the day. We just in a whole different era, and niggas might have been raised like we was just talking about that movie, how his uncle put shit in him. Yeah. But eventually, you're going to be who you're going to be. And you're going to make your own choices. When I was saying about Casanova, jail be changing niggas. And when I was listening to his Breakfast Club interview, he was talking about how he in and out of jail his whole life. He been a robber. He been this. And basically, he had it hard his whole life.
I get it.
And then he finally, he wearing Gucci and Hermes. And
he said he ain't trying to fuck it up. Like, I know, I heard it. He ain't trying to go back. I heard it. I heard what he was on.
That nigga ain't.
That's why when you start saying it the way you saying it, I start thinking about it. It's like, damn, yo, that, like, if you got, like, a real, no disrespect to nobody, but a real jail nigga, like, be like, yo, I ain't gonna let my people spend all this money just so I could.
Especially when I know I'm gonna do this time.
Especially when I know I'm gonna sit down.
$2.5 million gonna take care of your family while you sitting down.
If anything, I spend that 2.5 on trying to get me a lower sentence. You know what I'm saying? Rather than coming home.
So.
Because that 2.5 is aside from lawyer fees and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? And, like, that ain't in the same boat.
And I also, and this is me.
And he's going to need a real good lawyer.
This is me just being the me that I am. Let's just say it was I in his situation. There's going to be a couple of things that I'm going to want to know before I spent $2.5 million. Is my label behind me? Like, are they gonna, like, assist me in putting out music when I get out? Because as soon as I get out, I need to get to work. I need to be booked and busy. So is my label gonna be helping me do this?
Whoa.
Or is they gonna be with the bullshit? Because a lot of labels don't wanna stand next to you when you're in the middle of a federal case. They don't wanna put, because it ties the
company. It's bad for business.
Not that, but it also ties the label. There was, I can't think of the court case. But there was a label that got brought into court on one of these little rappers, Rico, because basically the lawyer was able
to prove. Was it Mac Dre?
I'm not sure, but the lawyers was basically able to prove that they was using the label money to flip it in streets or some street shit. So that's the one.
Do you know who Mac Dre is?
He's from the West. He's from the Bay Area.
He's tough.
I heard of him, but I don't really listen to the West Coast music like that.
When you get a chance to, just listen to him. He like he different. Like he not like. He's not the regular type of rapper. Like,
the feds has brought him to court?
Yeah.
For what?
Them niggas, like, his whole team was, like, involved in bank robberies and shit like that.
Oh, wow.
And, but he got killed, like.
And then if you, I heard about it. I heard about his death. And if you really do your research, most labels, when they get involved, the person either go to jail or they rap. But, it, like for example, I mean, if they rat, they only rat. Bobby Shmurda.
They only rat.
Bobby Shmurda. He ain't rat, but his label ain't bail him out. His label ain't help his ass.
Yeah, I know. They left him out there.
Exactly. 6ix9ine. He ratted. He ended up with two different multi-million dollar deals. One to make Latin music and one to make hip-hop music. Came out with all this new merch, all these videos, all of this shit. That's why I'm like, 6ix9ine knew his label was going to be behind him. Everything was going to be situated. So no matter what, if I rap, I'm still going to be straight. So if I was Casanova, I'm going to need to know all of these things before I start to make certain choices. Before you rap. Exactly, because if you're going to rap, you got to make sure you're going to be good on the back end. And I swear to God, they're going to give him the T.I. package. The T.I. package is where niggas is going to know. Niggas is going to look at them sideways. They're going to know that you ratted, but you ain't going to really have no paperwork that stick to you like that. We ain't never going to be able to prove it. You're going to deny it from every inch of your life, but everybody just going to know. You ratted, nigga. There's no logic behind you standing here right now.
You're gonna have to show me how. Like you really gonna have to show me.
Yeah. Because with T.I., that's gonna be a barbershop argument until the end of the times. Whether or not he ratted or not.
I don't even think it's an argument. I think anybody that got knowledge of any type of street shit, anybody that been involved in any type of street shit, just knows that type of shit, when you get caught red-handed, you don't beat that. Unless it was all illegal how you got caught.
But my whole thing about, and it wasn't, because
I know it was all set up.
And yeah, the nigga on a wire, you being recorded. Two, you are a convicted felon. You ain't even supposed to be near
none of this.
Or the guns.
None of this. You ain't supposed to be around none of this shit, boy. And somehow you around and getting off scot-free. Hold on, I'm about to do it.
That was the part of the whole T.I. shit. And then when it comes
to T.I. shit always bothered me. And it's so wild. What bothered me even more is how he really never responded to 50. When 50, like if you remember.
Oh, when 50, you so tough.
When 50 was talking about, he ratting.
Yeah, 50 said it in a song.
Yeah, he said my lawyer said I probably
how the homie Breeze.
Yeah, that shit.
Get the cheese.
He definitely did. I don't go fuck with nobody say that shit. If you
he did respond to 50.
If you ever
he you know what he said?
What he said.
So boom. Cause this is around the time. This is oh my God. And I want everybody to know.
That had to be way after 50 was talking about.
I want
about
everybody
it.
To know I did not bring this up because I hate T.I. He brought it up. This nigga was beefing with a little Flip.
Oh, I remember that. The niggas actually had a fight, I think.
And I was, there's a clip on YouTube. I can find it later and send it to you where the dude had asked him about the beef with little Flip and he had asked him about the shit that 50 said. He gonna say, well, 50 said that he wasn't talking directly to nobody. Because you know how 50.
Oh, he said, and if niggas say he ain't talking to you, you know you can't even take it serious. Because he ain't dressing nobody. Only cowards did. Yeah, I know. He did all that dumb shit. I think I seen that shit. Like, I remember that shit.
When he knows.
As soon as you start talking about it, I remember.
When
like,
you know
yeah.
Damn well he was talking about you, bro.
Yeah.
And also, at that time, 50 was like, don't fuck with 50.
50 didn't give a fuck about who he talk about. And if you put your business out there. Yo, I think the most gangster shit ever was when 50 was on the radio and Styles P called the station. And this was the time when I actually felt like, I was like, damn, I was like, I did not expect that call to go like that.
How 50 never raises his voice?
No. How 50 basically sunned him throughout the whole conversation.
And never raised his voice.
Like it's crazy. Like he little boy him all throughout the conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like and then what make it worse is Styles is acknowledging it. You get what I'm saying? Like he's acknowledging it.
Yeah.
He's like, you got it, bro. You got power, bro. Da-da-da-da. Like, nah, nigga. You supposed to be saying all kind of suck my dicks. You know what I'm saying? Like real fucking shit like.
Yeah, I swear people are going to be thinking that we literally plan these segues, but we don't. He just be bringing up shit that happens to lead into a topic of mine. Now, in Everything Lit, someone had made a post, what do we think killed New York hip hop? And it was shit like the radio.
I think it's New York Radio or Up North Radio, Dick Ryder South Music.
All right, so here's the thing. I say it's a mixture between 50 and the Rise of the South, which is also 50, which I'm going to explain.
I know your angle.
And a combination of that and more 50, which is the beat fit. So I really, honestly, I gotta say, I believe 50 plays a huge part in the decimation of mainstream, not underground, mainstream New York hip hop.
I would agree with you if, right, that shit wasn't already an issue.
What do you mean already an issue?
As far as New York rappers beefing with each other.
Yes, but let me tell you about 50 catapulted that shit to a different level. All right, so boom. What, once 50 killed Ja Rule?
No. See, if niggas, you know what 50 did to Ja that we don't even call it, but what it really is? And it's based off of this internet shit now that I can even recognize it as that.
What?
50 trolled the shit out of Ja.
Yes, but he also killed his career.
By trolling him.
It don't matter how he did it. He did it, though.
I'm just saying, like, I'm just baffled when I think about it. Like, he trolled that nigga. Like that's exactly what he did. That's the term that we got for it now, what 50 did to Ja. He trolled that nigga, but he did it on records. He did it online. He did it in real life.
And then the thing about that shit, it is, crazy. 50 believe in the 48 laws of power. I don't know which law it is.
I started listening to a book that he got, too.
I can't remember which law it is exactly, but one of them is you kill your enemy completely dead. This is when I be trying to tell people why he ain't never going to do no verses with Ja Rule. Certain, when 50 got beef with you, he got beef with you fucking forever. Now, if you ever seen 50 make up with somebody that he had beef with, it wasn't real beef.
I don't think he would do a verses with Ja because he don't want to see Ja eat in no way, shape, or form.
And that's a part of the law in, like, the book. Real shit, when, like, they say kill you completely, don't give you no life, don't help you. And
yeah,
that's,
like,
a part
I don't
of,
think 50
you don't
want to
help him.
I don't think 50
all.
Would ever do anything to boost Ja's career. And I think 50 regret sharing that video because he didn't know what it was about because nobody knew what it was about. And I think 50, like, fucked up right there alone. Because he, even that, like, Ja Rule been doing little radio spots and little podcasts and shit.
Yeah.
Like, after that. Like, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, but and
like
he's like, yeah,
shit.
Never again, nigga. And another thing with 50, right? So 50 was like, if you stand next to Ja Rule, you help him in any kind of way, you fool.
And he meant it.
But, and then, but the downside, how this helped divide New York was, Ja actually was the hottest rapper. One of the biggest rappers, he actually was making big joints. So you literally told me.
Yeah, but I'm going to keep it official with you. Like, as far as some, like, the shits he was making, niggas wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, but the problem where New York starts getting a big divide is Ja gets a breath of fresh air when Fat Joe and Jada stand next to him and do, I got 100 guns on an eclipse. That shit bumped.
Yeah.
That shit.
And I think that was detrimental to Jada and
because now, 50 don't fuck with you now.
And now
50 you
shutting
got
your
beef.
Shit down.
And now.
Nah, I think it's beef, but I think it's different because 50 was getting niggas shit shut
down. But that's what I mean
down,
by beef.
Like,
that's what I mean by beef. And it's also dividing New York music.
That's
because
bigger
now 50,
than beef.
Because now 50 is making it, for me, the fan. I feel disloyal to this nigga if I'm even listening to these other niggas. Like, because that's the shit that he talking.
As a nigga that listen to music, I could never be on no shit.
I mean,
like, oh, just because this nigga
whatever,
don't like this nigga, I can't
listen
to this nigga.
You're gonna
listen
to whatever you want to listen to, but if you're a real, real fan of somebody, you're not going to be constantly listening to somebody dissing them. Like,
I mean, I'm a fan of Nas, but I can listen to niggas dissing Nas all day if it's hot.
I think that's different. You gonna sit there and listen to Takeover all day? Just gonna listen to Nas?
Not the same shit over and over. But I'm saying, like, if it's like yo, Cormega got some of the best Nas disses ever. Like,
he do.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can listen to that.
I just feel like with 50 being king And now you got beef with these niggas over here. You got beef with these niggas over here. You dividing the fan base, and now you pushing this narrative on blogs that y'all beefing. This set got shot up. All of this other shit. Now it's really hot on the streets. It's really weird. 50 always kind of had like a little southern drawl to him.
Yeah.
He always kind of had that, so it made the up north ear enjoyable to that southern drawl. We was kind of getting used to it, and we didn't really mind it as long as the nigga could rap because of 50.
I mean, 50 actually was doing that, though.
I mean, yeah, he was, but...
He was, like, making it sound like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't
and that's
like,
even worse. That's even worse.
Worse for who?
No, because what I'm saying is, this ushers in the South.
I don't think that sound... Listen, I think that sound had already started popping. South shit was already popping.
It wasn't as popular here.
It wasn't as popular here, but see, that's the thing that we got to start to recognize, though. Hearing everything.
You're correct.
You know
and
what I'm saying?
That's what 50 knew. 50 knew.
50 knew sound. That, but what I'm saying is, as far as down south music, right, what I think really fucked up New York artists is that they start trying to copy the DJ on the radio. And then the numbers, the billboards, and whatever the fuck it is, the numbers are saying, play this record. Because demographically, you know what I'm saying? And then, business-wise, all around the map, them niggas are getting money off of
these
songs.
And that's where it's all rigged and all set up, though. Because at the same time, if you use 50 as an example, 50 had his run as success. And they declined him because he got shot. Columbia dropped him. They didn't want to give him an opportunity. But then, fast forward to the future, he blows up, and he's doing things.
Blow up on his own.
And then once he did, then there was 50 Mania, 50 sneakers, 50 clothes, 50 video games, 50 books.
I had them wife beaters.
50 Mania. So they decide what they want us to go crazy over. They decide the things that they're going to pump in our face and push in our face.
But it's always been like that. That's what it's about. I'm not going to front. You heard of 19 Keys, nigga?
Nope.
All right. It's a dude on Instagram, 19 Keys. These Muslim dudes and shit like that. These niggas just basically, they be talking about shit that niggas don't want to hear.
Which is like a lot of these niggas.
Which is basically like, yo, all this shit that you focus on in life is about nothing. And it means nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because something coming that's deeper than anything you could ever imagine. You know what I'm saying? Like, we in a time right now where everything is changing. And the world is showing its true colors and nobody's doing nothing about it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we're watching reality TV.
Really are. And the wild shit is the news is fake, but the shit you see niggas posting every day ain't.
And you want to know what's so crazy about fake news? You could be watching the same story on ABC, CNN, and they be showing you the same footage. They're just talking different shit on top of it. Almost like they get an email, like, this is the footage.
But then the wild shit is like, they reported this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then when somebody... You know, you see one of them videos uploaded from somebody's cell phone, it's a whole different story.
And they be right there, too, and they don't be having that.
That shit crazy, like.
You ever wonder where that footage be at?
What footage?
Like, because you know the shit that we be seeing on their cell phone, that's on the cameras, too. They just don't show it to us.
Facts.
I wonder where
it be
at.
Who knows? Archive.
I guess... I suppose, but I still think 50 played a big part in the divide of mainstream New York music. I think that his sound was a different sound that niggas wasn't making. And our ear got used to that melodic. We liked that melodic shit that 50 brought to the table. 50 was beefing with everything. And he just made it very difficult to eat as a mainstream artist.
Yes,
he did. So there wasn't any other mainstream artist coming out, and then when 50 fizzled, it was too late. The South had already dominated.
It's so crazy, yo. Like, 50 really ruined Ja Rule's career.
Exactly.
I don't think anybody's ever witnessed or ever, I don't think anybody, maybe behind the scenes type shit.
No, I don't think that's ever happened to nobody.
Yeah, like that. Like,
and that's why I think...
And everybody watched it happen.
And I think that's why I say 50 destroyed New York hip hop, because that scared niggas. Like, the threat of that happening to you, bruh? Especially, oh, sorry, that's especially when you think about the fact Ja actually had big hits.
Yeah,
he didn't. He wasn't no slouch ass. He wasn't a mediocre ass nigga. Like
I don't believe like he was like all that. I thought he was a decent rapper until he started doing all that shit. You get what I'm saying?
What, the sing song?
The sing songy shit. I thought he was a decent rapper until he started doing all that shit. When he started doing all that shit, I just couldn't get with it.
His first album was more how 50 be, like straight melodic, but he not like really hitting notes. But then when he really started, you know, doing his pop star shit, I respected it because the records was good. But he did kind of OD with like the I Cry, You Cry Together song. That shit was kind of trash. But you can't take his hits from him, and you can't take his track record from him. And 50 just came and made that shit sound like piss. Like, none of that shit matter. And that's crazy, especially when Ja is blowing up and 50 is shot the fuck up. Like, if you good. If you remember in 50's movie, they made sure they depicted that part. When 50's fresh home from the hospital.
Yeah, I see it. I remember.
And I'm assuming that song was Holla Holla at the time.
It had to be. Yo, the wild shit is just like, they really mimic what was going on in a way that was crazy. Like,
what, in that movie?
Yeah, they like with the music and the temperature, like making Ja look like a bitch and shit. Like, them niggas perfected everything.
Yeah.
Like as Ja far as making it look like he really wasn't about nothing.
That like, Ja Rule character.
Yo, that
was
shit
nice.
Was fucking what was his name? Dangerous?
Dangerous. I think it's a bus. Yeah. He dangerous.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
So in this hip hop group, niggas was saying that Bone Thugs and Harmony are the best group in the world.
No.
Now listen, I like Bone Thugs and Harmony like the next man, but yeah, I keep it a full beat. I can't keep it jiggy with them because I don't know what the fuck they saying. It just sound alright sometimes. Like, but I don't be knowing what the fuck they be saying. I can't really listen to it like that. So our lyrical breakdown today is going to be the first of the month. We're going to see how much of these words that we actually know.
I like the hook and shit.
So I'm actually going to pull up the lyrics on my phone. And we're going to listen to this. Because all I know is like, it's the first of the month.
Yeah, that's all I know too.
And for that song,
real shit, that's all I know about that song. It's the first of the month part as well.
And it's the thuggish, ruggish bow.
Yeah, that shit was fire.
Would you know any of the lyrics?
No. I just know that beat is just fire. Like,
oh, I know we know the beginning. Wake up, wake up, wake up. We know that part.
I don't know that part.
Yes, you do.
I don't really remember the song. I gotta hear it. Like, all
right.
All their music is like that. The only shit I know that some of that shit is the shit with Biggie. I know Biggie shit though. When that joint.
Cash your checks and come on. See, I know this part. How many bars you say this shit for? Wow, when you're reading it, you really know what they're saying.
Yeah.
I caught it when I was reading it. Interesting. He said, hey, my niggas, we having a wonderful day. And I won't front, you know, I won't front with you. Why? Because it's the first of the month and now we smoking, joking, rolling blunts and sipping 40 ounces and thugging. I'm done with it. I get with my nigga to get me some yayo. double up, nigga, what you need. We got weed to get POD, fiend for the green leaves, double up for the first for show, better lay low, cause po-po creep when they roll slow. That's a lot.
Definitely a lot.
So basically, he woke up on the first of the month. He got his check. He went to go get his boy. They went to go get some yayo. Somebody came and tried to do something to them. They started shooting. They ran, threw the drugs, kept the money, and then went to the back of his mom's house because she was cooking. That was a lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it wasn't rhyming. I got a problem with that. I like rhymers.
This video looks like trash.
Yeah. Well, a lot of old videos look like trash.
This is high level trash, bro.
Not back then, though. For real.
So I woke up. I see my sister was already dressed. She said, I'm about to go get my stamps. It's the first of the month. She about to go get her food stamps. I lost my spot. That was so confusing. What the fuck did he just say?
I don't know. I really don't know what they saying.
What the fuck? I was reading it and I was lost. The first dude, I could keep up.
I don't know what the Busy fuck you're talking about.
Wake up, and I see that my sister was already dressed. She said, I'm going to run and go get my stamps. Watch it. Make sure no one snatched my check. Nigga, that's the mailman. Sort through the mail and put it up into my pocket. So I be hitting the 99 to get me a dub for 40 ducats. But ain't no buckets. Ride that RTA. Hop on the 10 to the Claire. What the fuck is he talking about? Ready to
obviously
get him up.
Some shit where they from.
Ready to get him up with my thugs. And to cash that dumb man, I get paid. Playa, playa, holla, holla. St. Clair got much to offer. Whether it be weed or 93 or off the Glock, Glock, this is garbage. Or some dollars. This is bad.
Yeah, it sounds horrible. It don't even rhyme. It don't even rhyme. Like this shit. Blowing me like right now, it's fucking up my eyes, my mood. I'm mad now, like y'all niggas starving. Like y'all niggas was trash, bro. Like, what the fuck was y'all niggas talking about, bro?
They talking about the first of the month. I miss my Uncle Charles, y'all. That's him. This video is so horrible. Yeah. Did your OG
check? It's them too. The first two niggas trash. The last two niggas, they made the group. The other niggas was riding their coattails. Dead serious.
You think so?
I'm dead serious, because the tall nigga, he was probably doing the hooks and shit. Them other niggas was doing hooks and shit. They probably was performing the hooks, but them niggas was the pins. For themselves especially, because they rhyming. The other niggas wasn't even rhyming, mo. Neither one of them. We listened to two verses from two niggas that didn't even rhyme through their shit. Like, they didn't even rhyme. Nothing. They didn't even try to rhyme shit. Them niggas was just talking. And it's doing it on a rhythm fast. Like,
well, I kind of like the first verse a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
See, the tall nigga on the hook. They all on the hook, but the tall nigga, like, the main voice on the hook, I think. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like
I
they,
see what you saying.
They used each other's strengths.
It's the thuggish, rackish bone.
That shit was hard.
It's the thuggish, rackish bone.
And I can't tell you one word other than that hook.
Yeah, I don't know what they be talking about. Wham, bam, da, 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 da,
just be doing some wild
yo, stuff. Why do people keep on saying that them niggas is wild nice like that? Are we hating?
We not hating. Them last two niggas could rap. The first two niggas couldn't.
They period. Say Eazy-E discovered them.
I wouldn't doubt it.
But I don't know.
They say Eazy-E discovered Dre. The fuck?
I think Eazy-E just paid for Dre to do shit when he left.
Nah, I don't think so. I think Eazy-E discovered that nigga.
When he was selling crack to his gay ass. This video used to scare me when I was little.
What video?
The Crossroads.
Oh, this was my shit back in the day. This remind me of this trip we took to some mansion in 8th grade. Either 8th or 7th grade. That's all I think about when I think about this shit. And the Fugees album, The Score. Because that's the album we listen to.
And what, this was on the other side of the tape?
Nah, this is just like one of the songs that somebody was playing and niggas was singing it on the bus and shit. Like, I remember that shit like it was yesterday.
I do think I want to sample that singing in the beginning. That shit fire.
Throw it on the chipmunk voice.
Not the chipmunk voice.
Or that should be sounding dope with shit like that.
Oh, you gonna give us? You gonna sing it? Go ahead, dumb one.
I ain't gonna sing shit. I just know that part. I don't even know all of it.
This nigga hit you with the. That's all I know. What the fuck do they say, bro? That's why I couldn't really fuck with them, because I didn't want to have to listen this hard to catch a vibe. Like,
but see, that's what's so dope about music. This shit still rock. We don't know what the fuck they talk about, but it still go. We don't know what they saying, nothing. We only know the hook.
We pray.
Every day. That's it. We know what they saying on the hook. Everything else we lost.
And that's why music is what it is. You just gotta have a couple of bars that can stick with somebody. You gotta have some shit to stick.
It gotta
with
be you. Something that's gonna stick. Exactly.
But you laughing, we passing it away.
But what is it that makes it stick? Like that's the wild shit.
This part right here. Here we go, right here.
And then, come on. No,
that's not wrong. That's how I know he's coming. Yeah, man, I miss my Uncle George. Yeah, that, you right, he do be the one rhyming the most. But I guess because he was dark skinned, this part is fucked up. You have to take his soul like that, man. This video was scary growing up. I ain't like this. Everybody eyes turning black.
This is my shit back in the day. Like I ain't no front. Like, I could really remember that bus ride. Like, I could really remember that shit. Like, when I was still innocent and shit.
He said when I was still. It just, Bone Thugs and Harmony is just another example of music that I used to listen to. And I had no idea what the fuck I was listening to. I just be liking the way that certain shit sound. I'm gonna miss somebody. It's like, that's what music is supposed to be, though. Like, yeah. I was watching that Bob Marley documentary. That shit was dope. I'll probably watch that shit again. Bob Marley makes some slaps. That nigga got some slaps.
Yo, he got... What? Bob Marley a monster, y'all. I told you, like I said, he the GOAT. Like on some shit, he the GOAT. And you know, see, this is what qualifies a motherfucker to be the GOAT for me, like, when it comes to any genre of music. Like, if your shit can withstand time, you the GOAT, like. Like, you got GOAT, you got, like, you might not be the GOAT, because I don't think there is a the GOAT with anything, like.
Well.
You know what I'm saying? I just think.
To be honest, I'm an American that like Bob Marley on the level that most Americans, you know, let's get together. Everybody, you can't say you don't know at least one, two Bob Marley songs.
Yeah, but see, that's, but see, that just goes to show you, like, this nigga shit was so just fire.
That his that shit can reach anybody. All generations of people.
Yo,
but
I'm. You know how many niggas remake, like you could type in right now probably, like if somebody
over,
made a
some, over 10,000.
No, somebody probably done did like a cover of Bob Marley in 2020.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you go to Who Sampled It, it's almost 20,000 samples
of
different.
Okay.
They like different songs that they've sampled of his. Now, I didn't mean to bring this up, but I'm on this quest. To be a better producer, I need to evolve my ear and my musical palette. So I've just been going back and listening to things that people, world-renowned people, say are great bodies of work. And Bob Marley is highly renowned. People say he's great. So I always knew about him.
Bob just Marley, like, and the Wailers.
Like, light an incense, you know, just catch a vibe. But I found this documentary. I think it was on Cinemax. And it was just talking about him. First things first. I never knew that he was half white. That blew me.
That's like common knowledge.
It didn't upset me, but I'm just like, really? He's half white? Never knew.
His pops was white, right?
Yeah, his father was white, but his father was also, I don't remember if they said African or Jamaican. So he was white, but his father was like...
Born in Jamaica and shit.
Yeah, so that was like different kind of white than American white to me. Another thing is, I never knew...
It's funny you say that.
I never knew that
Reagan... It's like the British white.
Yeah, it's better. It's better than this shit. I never knew that reggae music was born off of them, like, basically taking American classic music
and remaking it.
I never knew that. Like, they was basically saying, "Hey, I like this. Let's make it sound good for this." And then they was just basically doing their renditions of shit like that we as Americans wouldn't listen to because it was like the white versions of the black bands, which I thought was kind of dope. I didn't know that he had actually worked with Stevie Wonder. Like, he got to jam with Stevie Wonder before. And I also didn't know that he just dropped out of school and just told his mom, like, "I don't want to do this no more. I know who I can get these books to." And, like, gave his school books away and then just started making music straight up. He was one of those kids that never had shoes.
He had it, though. He had it, though. Like, he was nice. Like, he was that nigga. He played it. He played instruments and sing. And the nigga was talking about something.
And you want to know the craziest shit they said about him? There's a lot of crazy shit, but one of them that just blew my mind. You know how a lot of people that's artists, they say when they work, they turn into Rain Man. Like, they focus. They, like, really in it. With him, he had a performance, I believe it was in Africa, that he paid for to ship all his shit there, but that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
He in Africa, and all these gunfire starts happening, people start shooting, people start running. His own band starts running and leaving. He don't even realize this is happening. He's up there performing by himself and shit. He is that much in the zone.
In the trance, like.
And then his band comes back and slowly starts to get in with him. Then he realized what had happened, and he says, "Oh, well, we know who's not going to be around for the revolution." And he laughs with his band and starts playing again. I'm like, yo, that's wow. And one of the band members was like, that's who he was.
Fearless.
He was down to die right there with his friends. That nigga performed with brain cancer all over his body. Bob Marley was an amazing person, and if you don't know nothing about him, if you never studied him, that documentary, I think it's called I Am Bob or something like that, it's a dope-ass shit. I just feel bad that he died kind of resenting himself, though.
I mean, I think it got more to do with doing shit that you you know, anytime you do shit that go against you, you know what I'm saying? It eat at you.
Well, he was saying that the doctors, which I don't disbelieve it, but he was
making
saying,
him sick?
No, he was saying the doctor said melanoma is a white person disease. Because basically melanoma is a cancer you get when you don't have a lot of pigmentation. And he just felt like if his father wasn't white, he wouldn't have gotten that. I don't know if that's necessarily true or not, but I guess if they tell you that you have a skin cancer because of no pigmentation, you would automatically blame your white side. But, and he didn't leave no will. He figured...
Keep it a buck with you. I think every mixed motherfucker that got color to him experienced that hating the white side shit.
Yeah, well, especially if you're going to die of cancer because you're white. Did you watch Meek Mill's movie Charm City Kings?
Yes, I did, and it was actually good.
Yeah, it was all right. It wasn't bad. It was just,
I
seen Meek, 12 O'Clock Boys, so it
Meek was good. I can't say he wasn't good. I watched it more than once just to make sure I wasn't tripping. You feel me?
I think I
watched it. Actually did a good job. Like he did a good job.
The reason I bring it up is because the girl that played I believe she played herself, Willie Queen. The girl that was in there.
Oh, yeah. She killed her girlfriend.
Yeah. She went to jail on. And then the funny thing is, the picture that she had, the last picture she posted on Instagram was the picture, the clothes she was wearing in her mugshot. So she death went out. Her girl did some wild shit. She killed her. Stabbed her, actually. She didn't shoot her. She stabbed her.
Damn.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I don't want to say shout out to her, but... She seemed like she was going to be a decent actor, and I was kind of following her a little bit on Instagram and on YouTube, and she seemed like she was going to be like the new variation of, remember Snoop from The Wire?
Snoop. I knew you was going to say that because, yeah, I seen it when I watched the movie. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, she seemed like
it
she
was real gonna, Snoop vibes with her. Like,
and that's her naturally herself, and she's really into riding those bikes. She was really into it. I thought that movie was going to give her an opportunity. I couldn't really get into the movie like a lot of people because I seen the 12 O'Clock Boys. And I just think that what they tried to do with the movie only makes sense if you're not privy of Biker Boy Pug, the dude that Meek Mill was supposed to be. Basically, that movie about four different people.
Most of that shit, though, like with the dude that was Meek right hand in the movie and shit, like, but Meek was looking at him shady and shit, the light-skinned nigga. Like, if most of the people that's into that movie... know about that movie and shit, is into that dirt bike shit, they know everybody in the movie.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying. For,
you get what
for,
I'm saying?
Like, the movie about like four different people, so the storyline seemed weird.
How's about four different people?
All right, so the little boy that Meek is like helping him put together his bike and all of that, he's supposed to be Biker Boy Pug from 12 O'Clock Boys. Then I forgot the name of, I think it's Willie Wayne, who Meek character supposed to be. Meek character supposed to be a dude named Willie Wayne. Then you got Queen Willie, who plays herself in the movie. It's just a whole bunch of different storylines for real people that actually happened. The way that the movie is kind of trying to make it happen, but they kind of making it like cinematic type. Mm-hmm. So it's not like how it happened, but you know this is exactly what they're talking about. So it kind of drove me crazy because I honestly think 12 O'Clock Boys is a better movie.
I've never seen that movie.
12 O'Clock Boys is basically like, you see how, you know, the dude was all obsessed with them dirt bikes and shit. Biker Boy Pug grew up in Baltimore. It's like an actual documentary that followed him for like a couple of summers through Baltimore, with him growing up being a little hopper to actually being an actual biker boy, stealing his first bike. And the part where they stole his bike in Charm City, that came from Biker Boy Pug, that happened to him in a similar fashion. Mm. So that's one of the points where I could tell you is taking other shit from other stories, other movies, putting it together and like this. And like 75% of that movie was 12 O'Clock Boys. So you could just watch that. But in other words, I don't want her to go to jail, but if she really killed her like they said she did, she should. That story was fucked up. Did you read it?
I didn't read it. But I just, you know, got the, you know, a little bit of insight to what happened. Man.
Yeah, they probably got drunk. They was arguing when she stabbed her a couple times. Bitch was probably flirting with some nigga. Sick of you fucking lesbian sucking dick now. Shit's annoying.
Yeah. Bitches who ain't lesbian sucking dick too.
What happened?
I said bitches who ain't lesbians sucking dick too.
Oh, well, I don't care about them. That's what they're supposed to be doing. But I just don't like it when you told me that you were a lesbian and you like to eat vagina and now you want to have sex with penis in your mouth. It's annoying and I don't like it. And I wish they would stop it. It's misleading. Did you have anything that you wanted to tell the people?
Not really.
Are you winning money today?
I don't know yet. Bitches is hoes. Yeah, I don't know yet.
So Doughboy posted a meme and it was hilarious. It was like a bear and someone was reading the bear book. He said, can't read the part again when two birds are whole mouth.
Yeah, that shit was funny.
Yo, where do you get the shit from?
I just be catching that shit on Instagram, whatever. Like, I don't know.
You guys gotta follow him on Instagram. You see his guns are showing. Welcome to the gun show. Look,
I can't even see that.
Welcome to the gun show.
I don't see nothing.
Welcome to the gun show. If you want to get personally trained by Doughboy, he can train you.
Yeah, it do look a little crazy when I do that. I don't know.
See, if you watch the show Shameless, he can train you just like Kev Beyond Shameless. You can do Kekos, whatever he called him.
I don't know what the fuck none of that shit is.
Basically, Kev owned a bar, so he was like basically using kegs to train people. But we about to get out of here. Remember, fake love.
Fake love tastes love.
Fake love.
Fake love ain't love. Value what you have, don't take life for granted. It's a cool world, don't waste time to vanish. Stay in your lane and get ran the fuck over, you hear me?
And as for my nothing motivation, it's kind of simple. Make sure you bundle the fuck up because it's cold outside. And where there's cold weather, that means there's a lot of demons, because demons don't need heat. Mm. You could take that how you want to take it. It's just the facts of the matter.
Yeah, in the words of Notorious B.I.G., fuck these hoes. Get all these hoes. Get a grip, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying?
1930-something. 1990-something. Yo,
I was listening to that.